Hi, Kevin McCullough. You know, I am just jazzed when fall rolls around, and perhaps this year even more so than in recent years, because we're starting to get like life back to normal. Kids are going to Taekwondo and ballet, and school's half in session, and you know, it's pretty soon going to have those crisp fall nights where I look forward to crawling in bed. And I have even more reason to look forward to it because of the Giza Dream Sheets from MyPillow. Now, Mike Lindell decided a few weeks ago he was going to do something for my listeners that he's not done for just everyone across the country. He's going to let you get two sets of Giza Dream Sheets for the low price of just one set. That's right. He's getting a buy one, get one free offer on the Giza Dream Sheets today. Now, I got to tell you, I've slept on a variety of sheets. I've never felt anything so soft, anything so comfortable, anything that so envelops you and just makes you want to stay in bed longer simply because you're wrapped up in their cottony goodness that is specially made from a special type of cotton that he gets in only three places on planet Earth. Anyway, try it for yourself. You're going to get a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee if you don't like them, just like the pillows. So what do you have to lose? Go to MyPillow.com and click on the radio listener specials for the buy one, get one free offer on Giza Dream Sheets. And use the promo code KMC when you call 800-506-2641. That's 800-506-2641. Promo code KMC.
Balance of Nature's fruits and vegetables in a capsule. Changing the world one life at a time.
I had begun to notice after 10 days with Balance of Nature, I felt better, more energetic. And believe me, for me, that's something because I have energy anyway. But as old as I am, that was really something to start really noticing. You know, we're all responsible for choosing what our attitudes are, but I had a better mental outlook. I mean, I always try to be positive, but there were subtle things in me that I began to notice. I just felt a difference with this.
Get a wide variety of all your daily recommended servings of whole fruits and vegetables without having to leave your home. Right now, Balance of Nature is offering free shipping and 35% off on any new preferred order. Call 1-800-246-8751 or go to balanceofnature.com and use discount code KMC.
You're listening to Kevin McCullough Radio, breaking news as it happens, what it means, and why it matters.
Kevin McCullough, and here we go. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Obliterating confusion.
Amplifying truth.
And pursuing clarity.
Kevin McCullough, now.
On our Technology Tuesday segment, would you eat a steak that was printed by a 3D printer? It's a thing now. Ari Zolden will be here to talk technology. Carol Markowitz from The Post going after Governor Cuomo. David Patterson remembers Mayor Dinkins. But we start with Lou Dobbs from the Fox Business Network. Stay with us. It's Kevin McCullough, and it's right now.
Binge thinking.
Kevin McCullough.
Something interesting is happening with this.
Kevin McCullough, let me start with you.
I found this thing at townhall.com by Kevin McCullough.
The big dog has come out of nowhere.
Kevin McCullough.
I just want to help people think.
Nationally syndicated radio host and author of No, He Can't.
He is playing the role
as well as anybody could.
Kevin McCullough is a nationally syndicated radio host and author of No, He Can't.
The odds are he's right.
It's Kevin McCullough Radio.
The stock market's just broken 30,000. Never been broken, that number. That's a sacred number, 30,000. Nobody thought they'd ever see it. And most importantly, I want to congratulate the people of our country because there are no people like you. Thank you very much, everybody.
That's earlier today. That's a guardedly guarded President Trump in his comments as the markets hit 30,000 today. What a big threshold to get through. And I don't think anybody thought that we were going to be in this kind of shape this many months after the worst portion of the pandemic. I would certainly be interested in knowing if my next guest did. He is the anchor at the Fox Business Network of Lou Dobbs Tonight. Does a great job. You hear him on many of these very same radio stations doing the daily Business Minute from the Fox Business Network as well. But Lou Dobbs, also author of The Trump Century, his latest best-selling book. And Lou, it's great to have you back with us at Kevin McCullough. What'd you make of the president's demeanor when he made that announcement as the Dow Jones tricked up today?
No, I think your word guarded was exactly correct. He was obviously thrilled to see that 30,000 level broken, as we all know. He has paid great attention to what the market does. And to see the just about $15 trillion that's been added since he was elected is a real statement. What will be interesting now is what does this market do between now and January 20th as we learn exactly what is going to be, who will be the president of the United States for the next 4 years.
Let's jump to that. You had a big blockbuster interview with Rudy Giuliani last night. Of course, you've had Sidney Powell on your show several times in recent weeks. You tried to get the mayor to give you a little insight on the parting of the ways. Lou, you've known some of these people a long time. What do you make of Giuliani's demeanor? Is he really fighting this, or does he believe that that they've passed a point of no return and it's not going to be ultimately winnable for the president?
Well, I think, first of all, Rudy Giuliani is the ultimate fighter. And as a prosecutor, as the mayor, America's mayor,
right.
He has shown that throughout. And he has been on this president's side as no other senior advisor has,
that's
in
true.
My opinion, because he's been in combat fighting for him all the way, and he's doing precisely that now. And I really, I cheer him and I applaud him for his commitment. Unlike so many who have been around this president, he has not wavered even once.
In the path that he laid out on your show last night, he said they have four cases going forward, four suits going forward, and another couple that he's believing will be added maybe by the end of this week. How do these differ from your understanding from what Sidney Powell is doing in terms of her work? Because she's to the left's consternation when they saw the sort of the public divorce over the weekend, the left, like they rubbed their hands together and licked their lips. I don't know if that was the wise thing to do on their part.
I don't know if it's a wise thing, but it's also their nature. These are vicious creatures of the night and creatures of hate that often lick their chops no matter the event. This is, I think it's an interesting departure because it's clear that Giuliani wants to focus on the mail-in ballots and the fraud that's taken place there. And she wants to focus on Dominion software, Smartmatic, and the software used by various voting companies over the years, and the fraud that's been perpetrated by her claims, in a tremendous, a tremendous number of states.
Yeah. Well, I was speaking with friends last night, and the way I tried to describe it to them was to say, you know, Giuliani's working, I think, on a little bit tighter timeline. His goal is to get the election settled properly. I'm not sure that Sidney is willing to chain her process to that timeline. And I think that even if Biden gets seated, I think that Sidney is the kind of person that's going to be going after this as long as it is necessary to find the evildoers and to expose them. And Lou, if it's what we kind of got from her over the weekend, and you'll find out more about this when she's with you tonight, there may be Republicans going down in this as well.
Absolutely. Think about this. We don't even know. And Kevin, I think you and I would agree that you and I give great care to all of the topics that we take on. We know a subject inside and out, and as do so many of our counterparts. But not a single person in this country, and I don't care who it is, knows who the ownership of these three major voting companies are. Think about that.
Yeah.
We don't know the ownership of these companies. We don't know which companies have servers where. We know there are claims, but we don't know it. And no election official sees those servers. No election official knows where they are. There are claims, but there is no real knowledge. This is, it's unbelievable. I was dealing with this story 15 years ago, following September 11th. In 2007 or 8, it looked to me as though this thing had been resolved in favor of a paper trail. And then they made a little left turn. And I have to tell you, I'm embarrassed to say I quit following it because I thought it was a solved problem. I really did. And I'm embarrassed to say that. But we were watching it very carefully. And then when I thought it was solved, they went back to electronic voting.
I think that at the end of the day, Lou, and we're speaking with Lou Dobbs, the great anchor on the Fox Business Network, 5, 7, and 10 p.m. Eastern every night. I think that the real challenge here is that you have a lot of anomalies that just cannot be explained. All the bellwether counties went for Trump, and nobody's ever lost the presidency and won all the bellwether counties. You have something as you know, kind of marginal as that. But then you've got things like, how did all of the Trump forces win the toss-up races for the Congress and looks like they're going to retain the Senate? And supposedly Biden has the biggest win in the history of elective politics on planet Earth, and he didn't get one of those nominees across the finish line. There's just logic here, Lou, that just causes dissonance in people's brain. But then you get down to the actual videotapes of people that are watching those counts on election night, and I don't know how they overcome this, where you have some odd number, 19,312, go out of the president's column, and then 19,312 go into the vice president's column. That kind of thing demands an explanation. And if we don't get it, Lou, we'll never have another free and fair election in America again.
Well, you're exactly right. And I don't believe that the most recent poll by Politico shows just about 3/4 of all Republicans believe that this was a fraudulent election. That's not going to be dispelled by the FBI or the Justice Department, because they don't have the standing, the regard, the respect of the American people. They've been as politically corrupt as any institution in the country. So who do we turn to here? We can't do it with Homeland Security. Homeland Security said there was no foreign intervention. They couldn't prove that in a million years. It's the most outrageous claim made, I think, in the last, I'll say, 3 months. It's outrageous to think that we're sitting here with an important election, a critically important historical election like this, that we really have no faith in the voting system, because there's no reason to have a faith in it.
Right.
There are too many known unknowns, and until we get to that, as you suggest, until we get real answers, the American people are not going to be satisfied, or at least half of them.
Read his new book, The Trump Century. It is, of course, available at your favorite bookseller. But watch him on the Fox Business Network, 5, 7, and 10 p.m. tonight. He's got Sidney Powell answering more of the most up-to-date questions. And, Lou, we will all be watching. Thank you for being with us today.
Well, thank you for the invite. Enjoy it, Kevin. Thank you.
All right. Kevin McCullough, when we come back, former Governor David Patterson joins me to remember the passing of David Dinkins. Kevin McCullough, stay with us. Hi, Kevin McCullough. You know, we've been telling you about the good work of Christian Solidarity International for a few years now here on Kevin McCullough Radio. And the thing that I am so moved by is that year after year, I come to you and I say, hey, there are women and children that are facing desperate circumstances, heinous circumstances, in fact, when you think about the fact that they are enslaved people. You know, slavery has become a very important topic in the American conversation over the last few years because of racial justice issues. Yet they don't seem, in this country and in many of the Western countries, no one seems to pay attention to the fact that slavery still takes place every single day on parts of the continent of Africa, Sudan being one of them. Tens of thousands of women and children are enslaved right now. I am so thankful that you, as listeners to this show, over the last several years, have on average helped more than 200 of those slaves be liberated every single year. And friends, we are approaching another important deadline for this year. Our goal is 192 of these women and children to be liberated from the slavery conditions that they're in. Our partner in this work is Christian Solidarity International, and they have a track record. In fact, they have helped now liberate more than 100,000 Sudanese slaves, and you can read all about it at the website at csi-usa.org. But here's what I really want you to think about. Our goal of 192 is very close to closing in on. In fact, as of this past weekend, we are now down to one. We've now liberated 153 slaves in Sudan in just this calendar year. Without your help, that wouldn't have been possible. But friends, what that does to me is it makes me concerned about the remaining 39 women that are not yet liberated that we have the opportunity to. We know that we can liberate them because their negotiations are already underway. We know that a $250 one-time gift would also give them everything they need to start their life over again once relocated to South Sudan, where they were taken captive from. Friends, if we can get them back to their families, to their regions, to their homes, imagine what a gift that would be even for this coming holiday season. Giving the gift of life and liberty to someone this Christmas would change everything in their life. That's why I want you to call right now, 888-342-1010, 888-342-1010. And when you do, know this, the first several of you that are able to do this, in fact, the next 20 people that can liberate a slave, we have one donor who's willing to match that slave for slave. Will you call right now? 888-342-1010. It only takes a couple of minutes. $25 a month for 10 months, $50 a month for 5 months, or a one-time gift of $250. 888-342-1010, 888-342-1010.
Balance of Nature's fruits and vegetables in a capsule, changing the world one life at a time.
I had begun to notice after 10 days with Balance of Nature, I felt better, more energetic. And believe me, for me, that's something because I have energy anyway. But as old as I am, that was really something to start really noticing. You know, we're all responsible for choosing what our attitudes are, but I had a better mental outlook. I mean, I always try to be positive, but there were subtle things in me that I began to notice. I just felt a difference with this.
Get a wide variety of all your daily recommended servings of whole fruits and vegetables without having to leave your home. Right now, Balance of Nature is offering free shipping and 35% off on any new preferred order. Call 1-800-246-8751 or go to balanceofnature.com and use discount code KMC.
Kevin McCullough says she is the most needed editorial voice in print today. Listeners have voted her fan favorite for 4 years running. The amazing mind of Carol Markowitz, exclusively on Kevin McCullough Radio.
So glad to have you with us, even though, and I'm hearing more rumors that here in New York City, Governor Cuomo and Mayor de Blasio are going to go even further. This is the rumor I heard just moments ago off the air. They are going to close the rest of restaurants down starting on Monday. To get some instant reaction to this, someone who wrote her most recent piece in the New York Post titled "Our Hypocritical Leaders Refuse to Obey Their Own Rules" is none other than the aforementioned Carol Markowitz. Hi, Carol.
Hey, Kevin. How's it going?
Are you hearing the same thing?
I am. I can't believe it, but I can believe it. It's unbelievable to me that we're going to keep doing something that doesn't work. But I can completely believe it because our...
Is there any rationale being offered as to why this decision is being pursued?
No, just fear, and more fear. No science, no data, just fear. And it's really wild to me that there's been so little pushback from New Yorkers. That's sort of been the worst part about this. I look at Europe and they're marching in the streets. And in the U.S., I just feel like, especially in the major cities, we've sort of rolled over and just accepted that they're going to make these insane decisions for us. They're going to destroy businesses. They're going to take away school. And we're just going to live with it. It's really hurtful and terrible.
Carol, this is a country that just supposedly elected a president who promised to do all that.
Well, that's the question, right? Is did Joe Biden promise to do that? I parsed a lot of his statements, and he really never clarified what his position was. He kept referring back to some plan that he made in February. Well, if that plan was so great, Kevin, how come the rest of the world is not implementing it?
Right.
I've written about this, where Joe Biden was completely unclear on what he would do. He kept saying he was for a national mask mandate. Then during one of the debates, he said he wasn't for a national mask mandate because it wasn't possible. Now he's back to talking about convincing governors to go for that national mask mandate. He's all over the place. And if we had a media that held him accountable, we would know what we were getting, you know, if he takes office in January. But we don't. And that's, you know, where we are as a country with a disinterested media who doesn't care about any of this and a president coming in that we don't know what he's going to do.
Well, and that is in part the larger problem, as you have identified it. The fact that the media has played such a an accomplice's role in all of this. And Carol, I honestly, I've never talked like this in my life. You know, we're looking for compound land in a red state somewhere where we can go start a colony.
Right. Yeah.
But it's surreal. You hear what they're doing with the schools, with the masks, with the shutdowns. And it's just like we can't even pretend like we're living in America anymore. This is not America.
It's depressing. It really is. The thing is, I have so much hope for America, as I obviously have talked about on your show before. But it's been a moment of what is happening. And it has been a scary time that I just don't feel like we're doing what Americans are supposed to do. And I'm worried about the future, and I'm worried about the future of the country. And I'm definitely worried about the future of New York, because I see us going down a deep, deep slide.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about schools in particular. Now, you've been on the schools case for a number of months. Where are they at, and what are you expecting of them between now and the end of the year?
Yeah. So I've been writing about schools since May, and for a long time, and I know I've said it on this show, I felt like I was shouting into the void. I felt like nobody else was writing about it, and nobody else was talking about it. When Governor Cuomo announced his plan to have four phases, and schools were in the last phase of that plan, I was just shocked. And I thought, oh, for sure, now people are going to realize how terrible this all is. But no, nobody said anything. I just felt like there was such limited writing about it. I can name the writers, that were sort of covering it. Bethany Mandel, Matt Walsh, I just think Matt Walsh. And I think that, it was just a case of Donald Trump wanted to open schools, so they didn't, so the left didn't, and the media didn't. And now that it's too late, now the schools have been closed because of some ridiculous benchmarks set in the summer that makes no scientific sense, now they're talking about it. Well, now it's too late. Now it is too late, and I don't know how to convey that to people, that you missed the boat on setting school policy, you missed the boat on pushing them to open schools, because schools are so safe and so much safer than the regular life that we're living. And yet it's, here we are, and we have no school.
And the schools are safer than even the places that they were saying needed to install the new ventilation systems and so forth. I mean, it's which is crazy, because that's one of the things that the school unions were trying to fight to keep the schools closed for. Turns out schools are some of the safest places to be.
Right. Show me the European city that changed its ventilation system. Like, show me them. I feel like we're in the upside down, and it's very hard to get that point across.
Well, you're doing the very best that you can in trying to describe this, but what do you think has to happen politically? I mean, Gavin Newsom, Andrew Cuomo, Phil Murphy, these guys seem to be as insulated can be.
Right. Well, the fact that they're in safe blue states really doesn't help, obviously. But I wonder what kind of collapse needs to happen for people to realize what a terrible job they're doing. It's very hard to live in these states and to watch what they're doing and know that it really only benefits a very wealthy, small segment of the population. I call them the pajama class. The pajama class is fine. They're working at home on their laptops. They're in their pajamas. They're still getting paid every week. But all the business owners, all the people that need to work in order to get paid, they're suffering. And I don't know how much longer they can suffer and have everybody else not know this.
Well, all we ever hear about is how evil big business is. And yet when you look at the outcome of this policy, it made Amazon $70 billion more dollars. It made, eBay and Etsy and all the people that can do the stuff online.
Yeah.
It made them a ton.
Absolutely.
Meanwhile, mom and pop, barbershop, hairstyle shop, drugstore, everybody else on Main Street, they're done. And
the policies make no sense.
Yeah. All right. Well, she's fighting for you, friends, and she's doing it every week in the pages of the New York Post. Carol Markowitz, always appreciate your insight. Thanks for being here.
Thank you, Kevin. Thank you for having me.
By the way, her most recent piece, and it's well worth a read, "Our Hypocritical Leaders Refuse to Obey Their Own COVID-19 Rules." Friends, that's because they think they're better than you. That's why they do it. They don't think they have to be held accountable. Kevin McCullough coming back.
Balance of Nature's fruits and vegetables in a capsule, changing the world one life at a time.
I had begun to notice after 10 days with Balance of Nature, I felt better, more energetic. And believe me, for me, that's something because I have energy anyway. But as old as I am, that was really something to start really noticing. You know, we're all responsible for choosing what our attitudes are, but I had a better mental outlook. I mean, I always try to be positive, but there were subtle things in me that I began to notice. I just felt a difference with this.
Get a wide variety of all your daily recommended servings of whole fruits and vegetables without having to leave your home. Right now, Balance of Nature is offering free shipping and 35% off on any new preferred order. Call 1-800-246-8751 or go to balanceofnature.com and use discount code KMC.
Hi, Kevin McCullough. You know, I am just jazzed when fall rolls around, and perhaps this year even more so than in recent years because we're starting to get like life back to normal. Kids are going to Taekwondo and ballet and school's half in session, and you know, it's pretty soon going to have those crisp fall nights where I look forward to crawling in bed, and I have even more reason to look forward to it because of the Giza Dream Sheets from MyPillow. Now, Mike Lindell decided a few weeks ago he was going to do something for my listeners that he's not done for just everyone across the country. He's going to let you get two sets of Giza Dream Sheets for the low price of just one set. That's right. He's getting a buy one, get one free offer on the Giza Dream Sheets today. Now, I got to tell you, I've slept on a variety of sheets. I've never felt anything so soft, anything so comfortable, anything that so envelops you and just makes you want to stay in bed longer simply because you're wrapped up in their cottony goodness that is specially made from a special type of cotton that he gets in only three places on planet Earth. Anyway, try it for yourself. You're going to get a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee if you don't like them, just like the pillows. So what do you have to lose? Go to MyPillow.com and click on the radio listener specials for the buy one, get one free offer on Giza Dream Sheets. And use the promo code KMC when you call 800-506-2641. That's 800-506-2641. Promo code KMC.
Obliterating confusion, amplifying truth, and pursuing clarity. It's Kevin McCullough Radio.
I offer this fundamental pledge. I intend to be the mayor of all the people of New York.
All right, that was Mayor David Dinkins, who passed away last night at the age of 93 here in New York City. And depending on who you spend time with, you'll get a couple of different pieces of feedback about who Mayor Dinkins was. But the first thing that people of both sides of the aisle will say is that he was a wonderful, kind man. And I genuinely believe that. Never had the chance to meet the mayor myself, but I know people that did. And I thought I'd invite at least one of them to join me today. And former Governor David Patterson does join us. Governor, it's always good to have you with us. Thank you for being here.
Well, Kevin, thank you. And thank you for the opportunity to talk to a lot of people who may not have met Mayor Dinkins.
Yeah.
And may not have really heard the whole story about him. But he was a very decent person. Everybody liked him. And he was a trailblazer in a lot of ways, even compared to the other trailblazers, in that he always wanted to have a relationship with people who he may have even politically disagreed with. So back in the 60s, he was, as I remember, the first African-American who marched for Soviet Jewry back in 1967, and was one who, you know, he'd be on the board of a place that maybe sometimes it had not been equitable in terms of its service to all communities. But he thought by getting on that board, he could start to change people's minds.
Yeah.
And I think that's what I'll remember him for.
Well, it's interesting because I've seen a lot of the tributes on social media over the last 24 hours. And some of our mutual friends, like the Katsimatidises and others, have said very glowing things about him. His mayoralty was
seen as a bit less rosy by people. And I think a lot of it had to do with the problems with the city and with crime and with some of the things that he faced. To what degree, and oftentimes I know that Mayor Giuliani, who also gave him a very glowing memory on his social media today, but a lot of times when you hear the Dinkins era, when you hear that phrase, it kind of harkens back to a time that is being kind of favorably compared to the de Blasio era. And I'm just curious, Governor, you were around, you saw it all go down. What is that a fair comparison?
Well, Kevin, I worked for him twice. And obviously, I was a friend of his, and his father and I were law partners. So I was basically like his nephew. I had the same name as him, and I wanted to do all the things he did.
Right.
But I think I can also speak objectively. And I would want you to know that they talk about the 80s, how terrible it was, and Times Square was a mess. And then the next thing that they do is they relate it to Mayor Dinkins. The fact is that Mayor Dinkins, number one, was never governor, was never mayor at any point in the 80s. He started in 1990. Secondly, while there were over 2,000 deaths from homicide in the city, it continued in 1990 and 91. It went down prohibitively in 92 and 93 because of a law that Dinkins got passed called the Safe Streets, Safe City, Safe Streets Act.
Okay.
So actually, the crime was actually declining in his administration, and the death rate was over 2,000. The homicide rate was over 2,000 for 6 years before Dinkins became mayor. So obviously it was going to take a while to reverse that. The mayor at the time was Mayor Ed Koch, and he was a friend of mine too, and I'm not necessarily blaming anything on either one of them. But this total association with the discord being put on Dinkins, I thought, really hurt him personally, because he was a person that really tried to be the mayor of all the people. And of course, the other incident that he's remembered for was the horrible situation in Crown Heights. That all I think about Crown Heights is there is a such thing as a devil. The devil was in Crown Heights that night, because what basically happened was there was a car accident where a limousine hit these two African-American kids. The ambulance that the limousine called came to pick up the limousine driver. The people around it assumed that the ambulance chose the limousine driver over the two kids. That incited a riot, and during the riot, a young rabbinical student named Yanko Rosenbaum was tragically murdered, probably by someone who was acquitted. So at the time, the Jewish leaders in Crown Heights wanted a meeting with Dinkins. And interestingly enough, I always thought that Dinkins' staff told him he didn't have to do the meeting because the sort of Upper West Side Jewish leaders or Jewish political people really looked down on Crown Heights, Borough Park, Williamsburg, and the Orthodox and Hasidic communities. And by not doing that meeting, it really did not alleviate the situation, and eventually a lot of that got blamed on Dinkins and had a lot to do with his not getting reelected.
Well, it is a day in which, as I started this conversation, saying that whether you're left or right, if you see the outpouring of emotion at his passing today, he was remembered as a kind man. And David Patterson, I appreciate you helping us get some historical perspective on what his life and time were all about.
Kevin, I attended the funeral of former Governor Mario Cuomo, and I was sitting on the left of Mayor Giuliani, and Mayor Dinkins was sitting on his right. And the two of them sat at that funeral and just couldn't stop cracking jokes. I mean, not, in a disrespectful way, but,
right,
you know, just the time that we had to wait to start and then when we finished. And I thought it was so sad because after the Amadou Diallo shooting, and there was, of course, a lot of discord in the city, Dinkins invited Giuliani to dinner. He thought it would be a good symbol for the city to see them breaking bread and coming back together. And unfortunately, at the time, Mayor Giuliani turned that down. So I think, in retrospect, given his tribute today and how I saw him interact with Mayor Dinkins 5 years ago at the governor's funeral, I would hope that if it happened again, he would have handled it differently.
Yeah, no, that's well said. Governor Patterson, we appreciate your insight today. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you so much. It's always a pleasure, Kevin.
Kevin McCullough, coming right back. Hi, Kevin McCullough. You know, we've been telling you about the good work of Christian Solidarity International for a few years now here on Kevin McCullough Radio. And the thing that I am so moved by is that year after year, I come to you and I say, hey, there are women and children that are facing desperate circumstances, heinous circumstances, in fact, when you think about the fact that they are enslaved people. You know, slavery has become a very important topic in the American conversation over the last few years because of racial justice issues. Yet they don't seem, in this country and in many of the Western countries, no one seems to pay attention to the fact that slavery still takes place every single day on parts of the continent of Africa, Sudan being one of them. Tens of thousands of women and children are enslaved right now. I am so thankful that you, as listeners to this show, over the last several years, have on average helped more than 200 of those slaves be liberated every single year. And friends, we are approaching another important deadline for this year. Our goal is 192 of these women and children to be liberated from the slavery conditions that they're in. Our partner in this work is Christian Solidarity International, and they have a track record. In fact, they have helped now liberate more than 100,000 Sudanese slaves, and you can read all about it at the website at csi-usa.org. But here's what I really want you to think about. Our goal of 192 is very close to closing in on. In fact, as of this past weekend, we are now down to one. We've now liberated 153 slaves in Sudan in just this calendar year. Without your help, that wouldn't have been possible. But friends, what that does to me is it makes me concerned about the remaining 39 women that are not yet liberated that we have the opportunity to. We know that we can liberate them because their negotiations are already underway. We know that a $250 one-time gift would also give them everything they need to start their life over again once relocated to South Sudan, where they were taken captive from. Friends, if we can get them back to their families, to their regions, to their homes, imagine what a gift that would be even for this coming holiday season. Giving the gift of life and liberty to someone this Christmas would change everything in their life. That's why I want you to call right now, 888-342-1010, 888-342-1010. And when you do, know this, the first several of you that are able to do this, in fact, the next 20 people that can liberate a slave, we have one donor who's willing to match that slave for slave. Will you call right now, 888-342-1010? It only takes a couple of minutes. $25 a month for 10 months, $50 a month for 5 months, or a one-time gift of $250. 888-342-1010. 888-342-1010. Everywhere I go, oh, oh, I change it all. Oh, oh, always on my
road, I'm still New York. Breaking news on the trending technology you need and can't live without. Ari Zoldan of Quantum Media Group, exclusively on Kevin McCullough Radio.
All right, very glad to have you with us on Tuesdays. We like to turn in this portion of the broadcast and discuss the latest and greatest news that is happening in the world of technology. And we do this because it's very simple. Everybody uses technology. Everybody is, if you don't believe that's true, just get your relatives in your house for Thanksgiving. We've got the grandpa who came to visit, and this morning we were all huddled in the living room trying to figure out how to get each other's iPhones to find each other. And Ari Zoldan, it took us longer than it should have for four people that own iPhones to get that done. But we eventually did get it done. They were able to find each other. But all that to say, we deal with this stuff every single day of our lives.
We do. We're doing great to be back, Kevin. How are you doing?
We're hanging in there. So I see this story today about Snapchat offering some obscene amount of money to get people to, what, abandon TikTok and start making their TikTok-ish-like videos on the Snapchat platform? What's going on there?
Well, yeah. I mean, there. I mean, if you think of the numbers, Snapchat has about 250 million active users. TikTok has about 850 million users. So TikTok is eating a very, very big piece out of Snapchat's cake. And it was never that way. Snapchat used to be the social media darling for a short time.
TikTok sure
came around, right, with their video platform. And they really blew the numbers out of the water. I mean, 850 million users is quite substantial.
That's crazy.
Snapchat is a bit nervous, and now they're trying to figure out how to come up with creative promotions to be able to get some of these content creators, these content influencers, back on the platform.
And on their platform, right.
On their platform, exactly. And they're calling it Snapchat Spotlight. They're offering, I think, $1 million a day to various content.
What do you have to do? What do you have to do to qualify to be in the running for the 1 million per day?
You got to have great content. You have to have the right followers. And then Snapchat goes ahead and issues $1 million. It's extraordinary what's happening.
That's
right,
crazy.
Now. And it's David and Goliath. He's got 250 million active users on Snapchat. You've got 850 million users on TikTok, and they're trying. Snapchat is doing whatever they can to try to acquire new customers, or new end users. So
yeah,
you know, it's always about the content, and you know, we always hear content is king. That's kind of part of it, but you also need the audience as well. So that's what's happening with
very
Snapchat,
very interesting. TikTok. Well, for all my teenagers that want to go out and do their TikToking, go do it on Snapchat. Maybe you'll get $1 million. Who knows? Hey, there's this other story, and there's a story in the Post that I didn't really read all the way into it, but there's a now make-it-yourself steak meal kit, and we've known about the 3D printing of steaks for a while. In fact, I think I forget where I was this weekend, but I saw the whole 3D printer that prints plant-based steak, and I saw them trying to grill it on the grill and how it's made with the little streams of veggie material that goes into it. But my goodness, now they're saying that human DNA can be injected and make steak somehow. What is this?
Yeah, this is more of a study done in a laboratory. You know, the headlines were kind of cute talking about, you know, human cannibalism. But behind that, it's really about the emergence of the convergence, I should say, of 3D printing, artificial intelligence, and creating your own foods. And it's I mean, there's going to come a time where, you know, you're not going to need this stove anymore. You're not going to need the conventional. Your kitchen is going to look very, very different than it looks today,
right?
Whereby you'll have a 3D printer food processing type of machine where you'll be able to just kind of dial up whatever you like. You know, it's almost it's quite fascinating.
That is so crazy. And if you go on YouTube and watch the 3D steaks get made, it looks the closest thing I can come to is like a pastry chef that's doing icing and very long strands of what, you know, would look like normally, but it's fake fat and fake meat that is made of vegetable material that then ends up, according to what the people say in the videos, that ends up tasting like steak. And Ari, I don't know. My mind is too blown to even be able to contemplate that being real at this point.
Well, you know what it's gonna turn the entire, I mean, think 10 years from now, it's going to turn the entire food sector as we know it today completely upside down. But we're living in a crazy world, Kevin, and this is just the beginning.
Just the beginning. You heard it. Ari Zoldan said it, Quantum Media. Ari, always appreciate the breakdown. Thank you for being here.
You bet. Thank you, Kevin.
Kevin McCullough, stay with us. My final thought next.
Ancestry, the global leader in family history and consumer genomics, released results of a survey commissioned to understand how consumers viewed their health risks during the COVID-19 pandemic. According to results, almost half of all Americans and nearly 50% of parents said the COVID-19 pandemic has increased their interest in understanding their possible genetic health risks. Dr. Ron Park, Executive Vice President of Health and DNA at Ancestry.
The COVID-19 pandemic has made clear to many people the importance of taking proactive actions to protect their health and their family's health. The survey shows that this applies to not only concerns specific to COVID-19, but also other health issues, such as genetic risks.
Ancestry Health, launched last year to increase access to personalized preventive health care, will soon be powered by next-generation sequencing, an advanced technology that provides a comprehensive analysis of inherited health risks. Visit Ancestry.com/health.
Balance of Nature's fruits and vegetables in a capsule, changing the world one life at a time.
I had begun to notice after 10 days with Balance of Nature, I felt better, more energetic. And believe me, for me, that's something because I have energy anyway. But as old as I am, that was really something to start really noticing. You know, we're all responsible for choosing what our attitudes are, but I had a better mental outlook. I mean, I always try to be positive, but there were subtle things in me that I began to notice. I just felt a difference with this.
Get a wide variety of all your daily recommended servings of whole fruits and vegetables without having to leave your home. Right now, Balance of Nature is offering free shipping and 35% off on any new preferred order. Call 1-800-246-8751 or go to balanceofnature.com and use discount code KMC.
What you need to know when you need it. It's Kevin McCullough Radio.
All right, from the stack of stuff on the big stack of stuff for the show today, there was this entry on Twitter yesterday that showed a gentleman getting arrested at a Costco in Georgia for evidently not wearing a mask or not making his son wear a mask when they were in the Costco. Now, this is interesting because yesterday, no less than twice, I had to be reminded to wear masks. I went out for the lovely bride. Her dad, grandpa, is in town. All the ankle biters are thrilled about that. But we needed some refreshment. So I went out to get some things. And as I was going into the store, I'm there looking at the wall. And I see this guy from the counter looking at me down the highway. He's like, sir, you'll have to have a mask on. I said, oh, I'm so sorry. I put the thing down. I run out, get the mask, come back, finish my shopping. Fine. An hour later, I'm taking the middle ankle biter to his Taekwondo. And again, we forget to put the mask. Now, fortunately, I had an extra one in my pocket. I pulled it out. I tied the little things off so it fit on his little head with his little ears. So, it fit just the right way. But he got the mask and he was able to go in. But the guy in Georgia evidently didn't want his son to have to wear a mask. And so now you get arrested for not wearing the mask. And by the way, the two cops that were arresting him didn't have masks on either. I don't know what the deal is, but I hashtagged it on Twitter today. Explain this, because I need to understand what's going on there. And I don't. So please explain this for me. Now, one other thing. In the arrest, they said that he was balking at the authorities because the guy refused to surrender his ID. He refused to say, here's my ID, when the police officer told him to. Now think about this for a second, friend. You have to have an ID and surrender it to get arrested. I'm not making this up. In Georgia, when you get arrested, you have to surrender your ID. As a criminal, you're required to turn your ID in. Don't you think it's the least bit common sense to then require people who want to vote to also show an ID, given the fact that, I don't know, we're electing the leader of the free world? If you have to produce it when you're going to jail, shouldn't you produce it to elect that person? Friends, I don't know where the election's going to come down, but count me on Team Voter ID from now on. It's the least we can do to ensure better elections. Kevin McCullough, we'll see you next time.